Well, it is good to see each one of you this morning. Trust the Lord will give us something for our hearts, our souls today. I invite you to turn back, if you will, in your Bibles to the 31st Psalm, Psalm 31. I'd like to read beginning with verse 21 and read down through verse 24. Verse 21 through verse 24. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Listen to that last verse again. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful this morning for this privilege we have of gathering in that dear and lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely he is altogether lovely. We praise you this morning for the mercies that we have in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for having brought us out of our sin and brought us to where we could hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for hope, as the song says, for today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. And apart from Jesus Christ, we would have no hope. But Father, we give you praise this morning and thanksgiving from our heart for your love, your mercy, your kindness, your patience toward us. We thank you for preserving our lives, Lord, throughout another week, and bringing us here today for this opportunity and privilege of being able, Lord, to sing hymns and seek thy face and to listen to thy word expounded and proclaimed. We just pray this morning that you'll receive our worship, our thanksgiving for all these mercies that you have so graciously given to us. We're unworthy of the least of them. But receive, because we offer the thanks and the praise, and we send up our prayer unto thee today through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I will shut up to this portion of the Word of God this week, and I could not get away from it in regards to finding the Lord's mind for the message this morning. I do not know your heart. I do not know your mind. I do not know all of the circumstances that you're involved with, what it is that's been troubling you this week, what kind of problems that you have. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord has led me to this text of Scripture this morning. And I want to speak to you this morning on verse 24, on the cure for a weak heart. The cure for a weak heart. Now, there is no preaching like that which grows out of our own experience. I mean, when a sermon grows out of our own garden of experience, well, I think that makes real good preaching. You see, David, here the writer of this text, he had trusted in the Lord, and he had been in trouble. David had been in trouble. Let's look at verse 7. And read here a few verses. He said, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing, My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. So David had trusted in the Lord, but that didn't keep him from having trouble. David had trouble in his life. Now God had delivered David out of his trouble, and after the Lord's deliverance, then he wrote this psalm to be sung by the faithful of all time. He wrote this psalm and said that we ought to always sing, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Now then, he gave this exhortation, which grew out of his own experience then. This exhortation, "Be of good courage, and the Lord will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." This came out of his experience, out of his trouble, and out of his deliverance. And so David, I believe, we can believe what he says, and we ought to be encouraged, and we ought to follow his exhortation. Now, we'll never speak to the help of those around us. We'll never be used of God to comfort, to encourage anybody around us if we are not able to speak out of our own heart's experience. It's one thing to take somebody else's word for something, but it's another thing to have such experience in our own hearts from which we can speak to the comfort and the edification of those that are around us. And I really believe that if we would really be helpful, if we would be able to speak a word in season, a word that is fit for the season, is right for the season, I believe that we must look into our own experience and find something there that God has blessed us with and given us that we might be able to use that to the comfort of others. Charles Spurgeon said that the best notes of a sermon are those that are written on our own inner consciousness. And I believe he's right about that. The best notes of a sermon are those that are written on our own inner consciousness. Now, if we speak of the things which we have tasted and handled and made our own, we speak with a certainty and with an authority which God will be pleased to use for the comfort and edification of his people. Now, then we hear David, who has been in the grave a long time, but he being dead yet speaketh out of his royal tomb, and he says, as the result of his own happy experience, to you and I today, "Be of good courage, and the Lord will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Now, the first thing that I want us to consider this morning, I want us to give our attention to in our dividing this text and trying to expound upon it, is that I want us, all of us, to pay attention to the company to which David here addresses his word of exhortation. And that company is all ye that hope in the Lord. Let's talk about these people that are hoping in the Lord. Now, we must not regard all parts of the Bible as alike addressed to every individual on the face of the earth. That is a mistake. The Bible has many things to say to all the sons of Adam, but there are certain portions of the Word of God which belongs only to that seed according to promise, which is distinguished in the Word of God by faith. Now, the Scriptures discriminates. It makes some general promises, to be sure, but its choicest words are given to persons of a special character. And David here addresses all ye that hope in the Lord. This is the company to which he speaks. And you judge this morning for yourself if you come under the description of this text of Scripture, all ye that hope in the Lord. Are you hoping in the Lord? Are you one who is trusting in the Lord? Are you one who is trusting in God alone? Are you hoping in the Lord? Now, the first thing we see is that these people are people of hope. They're people that have a blessed hope. Now, they do not have all that they expect to have as of yet. These people expect something down the road. They're looking for something more than what they already have. They are a hopeful people. They've not yet received their full inheritance. They're a people that are hoping in the Lord. They have a hope for something that they have not yet received. They have a living hope, a hope which sees beyond even the dark river of death, a hope with eyes so clear that they see things that are invisible to others, even the glories of a better world. These people see in their hope. They have a hope, don't you see? Now, are all of your treasures with you right now, or are they in your past? All those things that you esteem to be of great value, if they are, this text of Scripture is not written to you. These words, this word of exhortation, is not given to people like you. It's given to people whose best is yet to come, who has a hope before them, who is expecting something in the future, and who is believing God for that something. Now, if you're a child of God, then your hope is in what is to be. Your great hope is in the future. It is in what is to be, what the eye does not as yet see, what you're not yet able to grasp with a physical hand. It's something down the road that only God can provide. Now, God's people are a hoping people. They hope for the fulfillment of the promises that God has made to them in His holy word. They hope that the day will come that those promises that they have hung their hearts upon, that those promises will be fulfilled to them, and that the Lord will bless them and give them that which they desire with all their souls. Now, listen, they hope for good things. These people hope for good things. Those people that hope in the Lord, all those who hope in the Lord, are of a certainty hoping for good things. Good things, I say. Now, we do not necessarily hope for riches here in this life. Now, the Lord may be pleased to give some of us some riches. I don't know whether He will or whether He won't. We'll leave that with the Lord. And we do not necessarily hope for a long life here in this world. That's in the Lord's time. David said in verse 15, he said, "My times are in Thy hand. My times are in Your hand, Lord. You can give me whatever You want to give me, and in my day, You can lengthen my days. My days can be long upon the earth, or they can be short. My times are in Your hand. You're a sovereign God, and You can do whatever You will with me. I'm Your creation, and You can do as You please with me." Cannot the Lord do what He will with His own? Well, certainly He can. And so the Lord, that's in His hands. But we yet hope for good things. Now, we are hoping for a city like Abraham, whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for an eternal city. We're not looking to find one here we can move into, but we're looking for a city somewhere in the future whose builder and maker is God. We're hoping for joys which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard of, neither have they entered into the heart of man. But we are expecting and we're looking for those things, and we taste sometimes, we feel sometimes, we're able to see a little bit sometime with the eye of faith in this life, but yet our great hope is for the future. We're hoping for things so good that they can come from only God Himself. You know, the Bible says that every good, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that God gives is good. God is good, and He knoweth those that trust in Him. The Lord is good, and out of His great goodness, God has laid up for His people a glorious future, and His people hope, and they trust in Him. Now, are you a soul with this good hope? Are you a man with a hope that you would not trade for a dozen worlds like the one that you're living in? Well, the people of God are just that kind of a people. They would not give up what they are hoping for a dozen worlds like this one that you and I know of here this morning. Do you have a hope, a good hope, a hope of good things to come in the hereafter in that home of the blessed where you shall be forever at home with your God? Do you have a great hope for the future. Now, the only hope there is that's good is a hope that is based upon the God of hope. Now, the reason why God is called the God of hope is because all well-grounded and well-founded hope must be in Him. And unless it's in Him, it's not a good hope. And all good hope is through grace. It's through grace. We do not expect anything because of our merit. We do not expect anything because of who we are. But we do expect through the merits of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the hope of glory fulfilled toward our never-dying soul. We expect that God, because of His grace, by pure grace, to give us all that which He has prepared for those that love Him. And we believe He'll do that. It's through pure grace that we have this hope. My friend, do not ever look within yourself. Always look to God and believe that the God of hope, that He can give you everything that He provides for His own and for His people. He can make you one of His as you trust, as you believe upon Him. So then, if you're one of these spoken of in our text, this hope of yours is a hope that is rooted and grounded and established in the Lord. It is a hope in the Lord. All ye that hope in the Lord. Now you have no hope apart from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now our hope is in the Father because with expectation, the expectation of a child, we look toward the inheritance. And we believe that the Father will give us the inheritance, that we will be joint heirs with His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that, of course, must be on the ground and footing, as we said, of pure grace. And to the Son of God we look, waiting for that wedding feast that we will have over there with the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to Him. We expect to be there at the great wedding feast. And to the Holy Spirit we look, for He is with us now. The Holy Spirit dwells in all believers. Every believer has what we call, what the Scripture calls, the earnest of the Spirit. And that earnest we already enjoy. The Spirit of God is already in our hearts. But we're looking to the triune God, don't you see? He is our hope, and our hope is established in this God. And we believe that in this life, the filling of the Spirit and the light and love and purity and blessedness of the Holy Spirit is ours, but how much more will it be ours in heaven above? We're looking for these things. We're hoping for these things in the Lord. For this, you're looking. The Scripture says, David said in another place, he said, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations is from Him." My expectations is from Him. Now, we're people of great expectations. Now, I really believe that God's people ought to pick up on this and question themselves and examine themselves. Because, you see, this is the way that we would discover whether or not we have hope and whether hope is alive in our souls. Are we people of great expectations? Now, I would not want anyone to expect something in eternity, the seed of which is not in their life here in this world. I would not want anyone to expect something in eternity that they don't have a well-grounded reason for believing it's going to be theirs. But I do believe that all of those who are in the Lord and those who are hoping in the Lord, that they should have these great expectations that we're talking about. They ought to have them. And our expectations are not in men that die or men that live, as far as that is concerned. Our expectations are in Him who never dies and never fails and never disappoints those who put their trust in Him. Our expectation is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Now, I cannot come around to each one of you this morning and ask you individually whether or not you have Bible hope, whether or not you hope in the Lord, whether or not you're truly one that is expecting and waiting upon God for the fulfillment of all of His promises toward your soul. But do you belong to the company that hope in the Lord? That's my question. I'll ask you from the pulpit, I'll ask you straight out, do you belong to that company that have hope in the Lord? Do you belong to that? If so, then this is the approved company. This is the company, all you that hope in the Lord, not you that hope in yourselves, not you that have any confidence anywhere else, but you who hope in God alone, this word of exhortation is given to you. It is given this morning to your soul. Now, the second thing that I want to talk about, the text seems to intimate that there is a weakness which is apparent in many of those who hope in the Lord. It is spoken of here, I think it's very clear, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. And here it is, where it is implied that sometimes the heart of the Lord's own people, sometimes the heart of those that hope in the Lord grows weak. That heart grows weak. Now, even if there is a little wrong with the heart, it's a very serious matter. John chapter 14 and verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. For if you believe in God, Jesus said, then believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't have heart trouble as a believer, as a child of God. Now, many of the Lord's people, and I think this happens a whole lot oftener than anybody would, because you know most of us think that everybody else is stronger than we are. That other people don't have the problems that we have. That we may be weak and we may lose our courage and we may be depressed and timid and weary, worn, and sad, but probably nobody else is. We just assume that this is our problem, that it's a problem that we probably own and own the rights to, and nobody else can have that. But some of God's own people are occasionally, and many of them, I should say, very often, subject to a weakness of the heart. They lose their courage. They do. They lose their courage, and their joy departs from them, and they become very fearful, and they become timid living in this world. And sometimes this occurs when we are called upon to suffer bodily in this world. Pain does some unusual things to people. Pain does unusual things. It'll make you lose your courage. If you have a splitting headache for 4 hours, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be less courageous at the end of that 4 hours than what you were to begin with. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get timid when you suffer in the body. I've seen strong men who come down with an ailment, and it wasn't long until they were very, very, appeared outwardly very humble and very weak by the experience. And so when we suffer bodily pain, many, many times we lose our courage. And also I think this is true in the battle of life, in the battles of life. My friend, there's great struggles to make it in this world, to face it and to stand it in this world is a battle and a struggle. Now, some of you younger people, you may not believe that. You may not believe that, but not all young people are well off as you and as fortunate as you are. I have read recently, and I don't know whether you're in the habit of following the obituary columns or not, but I have recently read of two young men, one 21 and one 22 or 25, I forget which it was, who just took their lives, self-inflicted gunshot. And these were young men who you would think would never do a thing like that. And then we know of younger people than that. We read recently of one who was 14 years old here in Great Falls, an honor student who took his own life. And you wonder about that, and you say, well, why would anybody do a thing like that? Why would young people do a thing like that? Well, my friend, I believe it is because they have lost hope. Whether they ever had a well-grounded hope, I'm sure they didn't have. But yet, whatever this thing is called hope, they lost it apparently. Apparently, they don't have it anymore. Apparently, the battle of life and the struggles of life was too much for them. Now then, I read of some in the Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 37, if you want to turn there in your Bible, look there with me and listen to what the children of Israel were saying. Then he said in verse 11 of Ezekiel 37, he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They were in that valley where those dry bones were, and the Lord had brought them back to life. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore you prophesy, and you say unto them, they've said, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We don't have any hope. You prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I'm the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And so I read this because these people had lost their hope and said, we're cut off. Our bones are dried up. We're cut off. Our hope is gone. But the Lord said, I still got something for these people. I mean, their bones are out here bleached in the sun, but I still got something for them. I'm still going to do something for them. I'm going to open their graves, and I'm going to bring them forth. Never, never, never. Listen to this psalm. Turn with me to Psalm 71. Psalm chapter 71. And I want you to look here at verse 14, where the psalmist said, but I will hope continually. I will hope continually. What do you mean by that, David? Well, what I mean by that, David would say, whenever I get up some morning and everything is against me, my enemies are all around me, when men are speaking ill of me, when I've got all kinds of problems that I don't have any solutions for, well, David said, I'm going to hope continually. Whenever it just seems like there's no use to live any longer, David said, I'm going to hope continually. I'm going to keep on hoping. I'm not going to give it up. I'm just going to keep right on hoping because tomorrow things may change. Tomorrow may be a different day. God is able to come and to do something in your life. It may not always be as it now seems it will be. The Lord can do something. Never give up. David said, I will hope continually and will yet praise you more and more. The day is going to come when I'm going to have reason to praise God for more than I've ever had to do it in the past. And so I'm not going to give up today and say, this is it. I cannot face another day. I'm not going to give it up. I'm going to hope continually. And I'll tell you what we must do. We've got to get a hold of that kind of a faith and that kind of a hope that just believes that the God of the Bible can do miraculous things, that He can do things to change our situations. And we've got to believe Him to do it. And we must trust Him to do it and not give up the battle. But sometimes, listen to me, sometimes when we face these situations, and we know that, boy, it's going to be, whether we can make it out of this or not. Oh, we must listen to Joel 3 and 16. Let me find that right here. Joel 3 and 16. Listen, it says, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. I mean, when the heavens and the earth are shaking, the Lord will be the hope of His people. And the heaven and earth is still pretty stable right now, at least in most places, especially where we are. It's very stable. And I'll tell you, the Lord is the hope of His people. regardless of what happens. And so never, never give up trusting and hoping in the Lord. Now, also in the time of temptation, I think we lose our courage. And sometimes, you know, listen, we think of the words of the old song, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why she'd be thus all the day long. Tempted and tried. Now, many are like Lot. You remember Lot, his soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked from day to day. And some people here in this world, you got to live around certain people that just literally are hard to live around, and they vex your soul. They bother you. They torment you. And they tempt you. And you have all kinds of problems because of these individuals. And then of course, of your own nature and your own flesh, and hard to handle, like a runaway horse, hard to handle, your own nature. And you're tempted many, many times to say things and do things and get involved in things that you ought not get involved with. And you lose your courage fighting all the time. You say, well, why couldn't we have a day of rest? Why couldn't I have a day when I'm not bothered about this particular thing? Why am I always tempted? Why am I always bothered with this or that or something else? My friend, be of good courage. Be of good courage. We sometimes have a weak heart, and we sometimes have to deal with these situations. And then also I think that in our labor for the Lord, we oftentimes lose it. And we lose that courage that will cause us to go on in our labor for the Lord, because we do not enjoy the success that we would like to have or even expected that we would have. We thought, well, surely it will be different with us. We do not expect ever to build a great tabernacle and have a great following. But still, we expected maybe more than what we have received. And sometimes, boy, let me tell you something. I can tell you this truthfully. My heart has nearly failed me in this place on many occasions. I thought, well, it won't do any good to preach again. Surely, it won't do any good to go again. Will it do any good to have another service? Will it do any good to preach the gospel to these people anymore? Well, sometimes we have a weak heart. And that is implied in the text. And the text says, be of good courage, and the Lord will strengthen your heart. The Lord will strengthen your heart. Now, even David became weak and faint on various occasions. And I thought about Samson. And after Samson, you know, had said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men, yet for want of a drink of water, he was ready to lie down and to faint and to die for the want of a drink of water. After having great success, then he was ready to lie down because he needed a drink of water. What is it we need this morning? Our heart does get weak and it does get faint. Well, why should we wonder about this? The best of men are only men at the best. Lose their courage. They're just men. They're just made out of the dust of the earth. That's all. And they're just men at the best. Now, this weakness restricts our service unto God. How many good resolves and holy projects never come to anything? We could weep. Could you weep in your own life? Listen, what goes undone for the want of courage and for the want of confidence in God? There's a lot of people that they just literally can't do anything really in life. They're afraid to do anything because they just don't trust the Lord. They're so weak of heart and they can't do anything. Well, I would go over and say something to so-and-so, but, you know, really, I mean, I'm pretty weak myself. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. You're weak yourself. You ought to be of good courage. The Lord might strengthen you and use you to do that. I say, how many good resolves and holy projects never come to anything? Never come to anything. There's some of you here that could do a whole lot more than you do. I mean, in the service of God Almighty. I mean, there's going to come a day when somebody else is going to have to stand in this pulpit. There's going to come a day when somebody else is going to have to go and deal with different problems that the Lord's people have. And we ought to have a holy resolve that we're going to be of good courage. We're going to take up the task. We're going to do whatever we can do in the service of God. But this being timid, it restricts us in the service of God. Man says, well, I can't give that dime because I may never see another dime. That's unbelief is what that is. That's all that is. It's unbelief. Man says, I can't get too involved in the things of God because after all, I mean, I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to do this. Listen, for the want of courage and confidence in God, we restrict our service unto the Lord. And this makes it a very, very serious problem. And may God deliver us from this faint-heartedness, lest we fail to magnify and glorify the God that we claim to believe in and worship by withholding our service unto the Lord. We must magnify and glorify this God. Be of good courage. The Lord will strengthen your heart. Your weakness of heart, then, is what I find here in this text that we need to deal with, that needs to be dealt with. Now, the third thing, I want you to notice the exhortation in this text, and that exhortation is, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Be of good courage. Now, I like the way this is put. It does not only say, just be of good courage. There is an and with it, and he shall strengthen your heart. There's an and here that says, and the Lord will strengthen your heart. Now, what this means to me is that God requires us to be of good courage, and at the same time that we're of good courage, the Lord is strengthening our heart. It just seems to me like something that happens at the same time. When you're of good courage, the Lord is strengthening your heart. And this is incumbent upon us. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Now, do not sit and rub your eyes and say that you cannot help it if you're faint-hearted. You must not be so. You must not be so. In the name of God, the God who loves us, the God who sent His Son to die on the cross in our room instead and place, the God who has provided for us all the days of our life and brought us into this good hour, has commanded us in this text to be of good courage. The Lord has commanded us to do it. Put your trust in God and take your harp off of the willow tree. You say, I cannot play it. God give you grace to play it. God give you strength to play it. God give you the ability to play it. God deserves to be trusted. What has the Lord done to cause us to doubt Him or to believe that somehow or other God's brought us out here, got us in this fix that we're in, and He's going to desert us, that He's going to forsake us? The Lord will not forsake His saints. The Lord will preserve them forever. They will not be forsaken. Now, what do you expect to get out of your worry? What do you expect to get out of your fretting? What do you expect to get out of your stewing? What do you expect to get out of it? What good is going to come? What will happen to us if we're not of good courage? I'm getting older. And you have dependent children. You've got a family to raise. You've got obligations. There's situations ahead of you. What are you going to do if you're not of good courage? What are you going to do? Now listen to me this morning. We must not be cowards. You say, preacher, I'm no coward. I'm no coward. I just have a retiring disposition. Do you know that in wartime they shoot people for having a retiring disposition? They call it desertion. That's what they call it. People that are cowards that won't face up to their obligations, their responsibilities, their situations. People that will not stand and face what life brings. My friend, you can say if you want, you have a retiring disposition, but I say that it's sin. And the Bible here says, be of good courage. And you need to be of good courage because God has commanded you to be of good courage and has given you the promise that He will strengthen your heart. as you stand and as you face life and as you deal with it. Is God with us? Is He with us? He said He would be. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Didn't He say that two or three times? He said, I will never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I won't do it. He said, you can boldly say, the Lord is your helper. But, and you don't need to fear what man shall do unto you, because the Lord has said, I will never forsake you. I will not leave you. So then, listen, God alone can strengthen the heart. This is a very cheering promise to me, is that the Lord will strengthen our hearts. He will strengthen our hearts as we are courageous. Now, as we said, God alone can strengthen the heart spiritually. Listen, the mercy is that God who made the heart understands the heart, and He who sees its weakness knows how to strengthen the heart. The Lord knows how to do it. Now, you don't have one excuse to stand on. You can say, well, now, you know, I just don't know whether the Lord knows me well enough to know how to help me or not. The Lord knows you as... Listen, there ain't anybody knows you as well as the Lord knows you. Let me tell you that. And all things are naked and open unto the God with whom we have to do. God's eye is on you, and He knows you. He knows you. And now that can be a very, very... I think sometimes that, especially for hypocrites, that can really cut you to the heart to know that God knows you. That there ain't anything hid from the Lord. He knows you. He knows your situation. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. Now then, how does God strengthen men's hearts? I thought about this a little bit, and I want to offer you some of the ways in which God strengthens men's hearts. This is important that we see this. Sometimes the Lord strengthens men's hearts when they are in very difficult situations, when they're in trouble, when they have problems, when there's great trials in their life. The Lord strengthens them by a gracious providence. By a gracious providence. Sometimes very unexpected things happen. They do. Very unexpected things happen. Now, in this message this morning, and I want it to be so every time I preach, if you walk in this building and you hear me preach and you are not encouraged to some degree by what you hear me say, then I believe I failed your soul. I mean to encourage you if I can under God. Now listen to me. I say that sometimes very unexpected things happen. Now, I expect the unexpected. That's why I'm still here. I expect the unexpected. I have expected the unexpected for a long time. And let me tell you another side of the coin. I always will. And when the day comes that I am not expecting the unexpected, then I will have lost my hope. I will keep on expecting the unexpected. And that'll keep you from putting a gun to your temple. That'll keep you straight. You believe that the God of the Bible can and will do unexpected things. And you must continue to believe that. Now, listen to me. I get into tights. Do you ever get into a tight? Sometimes I get into deep water. I get into deep water and my feet won't touch the bottom. Sometimes I get into situations that I just don't know how I ever got into them. And I dead sure don't know how I'll ever get out of them. I do not know. But listen, I have a simple dependence on the God of the Bible. I just trust the Lord. That's all I know to do. I just trust the Lord and I expect God to deliver me. He always has. I expect God to deliver me. I could never tell you how He's going to do it. I just believe that's up to Him. And I think He knows how. I think He knows how. And I just believe Him to do it. I do. I just believe Him to do it. And I know that don't sound very, very wise. That don't sound like a very wise way to live a man's life in 1993. But that's the way that God's people are to live. Simple dependence upon the God of the Bible. God will deliver His people. I know that God has went before me many, many times when I didn't even know what was going on. But later on I found out that God, way back there, a few years back, He was going before me right then. And then later I discovered my soul. Here's something way out here in front of me. God has worked everything all out. He's been out there in front of me all the time. God forbid that I should lose courage, that I should throw in the towel, that I should give it up. Come on, quit ye like men. We must believe God and we must trust God. We must be of good courage. We must. The Lord is strengthening our hearts. And now the old Puritan said, and I've told you this before, but he that looks to the providence of God will never want for a providence to look to. The providence of God is God outworking and doing that which He purposed to do in old time, and the fulfilling of His covenant, giving covenant provisions to His people. That's the providence of God in its outworking. Now, I want you to notice this, in number two. I'm talking about how does God strengthen His people? Sometimes, very unexpected things happen. Sometimes, God's gracious providence supplies. That's the first thing. Number two, the Lord has a way of strengthening men's hearts by the fellowship of friends. Paul was often refreshed by Christian associates. He said that he was often refreshed by Onesiphorus. Often refreshed. The Lord has a way of doing that. Now the Lord can send somebody around with a word. He can send them around. Somebody's been in trouble before. I mean, not a novice, but somebody knows what trouble is all about. He can send that person around, and that person can have a word fitly spoken. That's the way the Bible speaks of it. And the Hebrew of that is a word upon wheels. A word that is from the Lord, and it's a word that is fit for your situation, and it's not dragging heavily. It's on wheels. It's a word that will assist and help you. It comes just at the right time. The Lord gets it there. It's on wheels. It gets there at the right time. Have you ever been helped that way? Well, I have, over and over again. And I'll tell you this, that when I get around somebody who I knows the Lord, and somebody who I know and feel has a burden for my soul and is interested in me, I listen to what they got to say. I listen to everything they say. And I can most generally tell you what you've said to me, even though there's several of you pass me in the, out here by the door, and you tell me, I listen to what you say. I listen to what you say. Because I'm always looking for a word from the Lord. I'm always looking for a word that will help me, strengthen me in the Lord. And whenever I'm talking to a believer, a friend in the Lord, I listen to what they say. And because many, many a time, my old soul has been helped. And what I mean, it's precious to be helped by somebody just giving you a word and somebody just encouraging you in the things of God. It's like apples of gold and baskets of silver. Such are goodly words brought to us by men of faith and experience, whom God sends to us. The Lord sends them to us. Now, the third thing is this. I'm talking about how God strengthens men's hearts. You're interested in this. I'm sure that you ought to be. If you're not, then God help you. Now, the third thing is that God sometimes does this by giving you a precious promise, a text of Scripture. And what a wonderful power there is in the Word. What a wonderful power there is in the Word. The Lord said one time when I was in a great dither, woke up in the middle of the night, the Lord said, "Be not faithless, but believing." And the next few days were glorious. I'm telling you, they were glorious. The Lord sent me on a trip, and I went on a trip, and the Lord opened doors before me. It was a hallelujah time. Praise be unto God. Be not faithless, but believing. I wouldn't have went a step. I wouldn't have went out the door. You couldn't have got me to fart off the engine. I wouldn't have went. But the Lord said, "You don't be faithless, you go." You go. And the Lord went before me. I'll tell you, there are many, many a time the Lord gives us a text of Scripture, says something to us out of the Word, says something to us sometimes even out of a song that we're familiar with, which is based on Scripture. The Lord will give you a word. I'll tell you what, some of us are not in enough trouble to experience some of these things. Some of us never get in enough trouble. Some of us are not looking to the Lord. We're not crying to God. We're not seeking God. We just throw up our hands and we just make a... I don't even want to try to describe what we make out of ourselves whenever we get into trouble sometimes, because we just will not get down on our face before God and cry to God until we get some help and until God strengthens us and gives us a word, gives us something that will help us out of our problems. So then the Lord might give us a text. Okay, and then the fourth thing is that the Holy Spirit has a secret way of strengthening the courage of God's people, which none of us can explain. And I don't have the ability to explain how it happens, but I felt it. Have you ever felt it? Now listen, you may go to bed at night, you may be sick. You may be sick of heart, and you may be weary, worn, sad, depressed. You may just feel terrible in your soul. But when you wake up in the morning, you may wake up refreshed, and you may wake up ready to face the day, ready to tackle whatever's out there in front of you, ready to go, ready to deal with whatever you have to. Well, what happened? Well, the Lord, you say, well, I just guess it was a good night's sleep. Well, I think it's a little more than that. I think it was the secret operation and working of the divine Spirit in your heart and in your life during the night. And perhaps God may visit you in the middle of the night. He may wake you up, like He has me on a number of occasions, and say, I've got something to say to you. I've got something to say to you. Here's something that you've overlooked. Here's what you need to believe. You need to believe this word or that word. And so you feel suddenly that the Lord has strengthened you by the Holy Spirit, so that you're perfectly resigned and satisfied and you're prepared, you're ready, come what will, you're ready to deal with it. The Lord has visited you. I remember reading about men who were in a real perplexing situation, faced, needed. One man here, another man here, and this Christian was overwhelmed by what this individual was saying, what he was presenting, and the Christian said, you'll have to excuse me just a moment. You'll have to excuse me just a moment. And he turned and went in the other room and bowed his head before God and said, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. This is overwhelming. I don't know how to face this. How do I deal with this? And the Lord gave him peace in his soul. He came back out and was able to deal with it. He said, now go on. Go on. Tell me what you will. Say what you will. I'm telling you, the Lord, by the Spirit, can mightily strengthen you. And if you're faced with a difficult situation, don't hesitate to say to the people that you're dealing with, say, just a minute, just a minute. I got to go off here just a second. I got to have a minute or two. I got to look to the Lord here. I got to have some grace. I got to get some strength here. I got to deal with this thing. And I want to deal with it rightly before the Lord. And so give me a moment. Now then, do not give up. You need not be a coward. Do not say, I must. I mean, it's inevitable, I'm beat. And I'm going to continue to be beat the rest of my life. It's inevitable. I must always be despondent. Now, your immune system's going to hear all of that. That's going on in your system. And that's not going to be good for you. Listen to me now. You cannot give up. Listen. You needn't be beat. Pray. Be of good courage. The Lord will strengthen your heart. Has He ever failed you? Has He ever failed anyone that trusted Him? Has He? I want you to turn with me quickly to Jeremiah chapter 17. And I want to read here a couple of verses to you. Jeremiah chapter 17, and begin with verse 5. You just listen to these verses here. I'm going to let you out. I'm just about finished. Hold on. Verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What a marvelous portion of Scripture that is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Has he ever failed you? Has he ever failed any who trusted him? Can any stay his hand or keep him from fulfilling his promise or denying his promise or retract his word? Can any cause him to do that? No, absolutely not. If you'll trust him, he'll be better to you than your largest hope. You lean too much on your own wisdom. You do not know what's good for you. You do not. Now the Bible says that it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You lean too much on your own wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not to your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. You do not know what's best for you. And that's why you're murmuring and complaining about everything that happens in your life. You've got to come to the place where that you'll say, we'll see. We'll see. Somebody says, that's good. Well, you best say, we'll see whether that's good or not. Somebody says, well, that's bad. Well, we'll see whether it is. You best wait on the Lord, and you best trust him and not lean too much to your own understanding. Listen, stay yourself upon the Lord. Lean upon his bosom. Lean hard, lean hard, lean all your weight there, and leave your burden there. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. Blessed are all those who put their trust in the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. The Lord be gracious to every one of you. I want to read this poem to you in closing. And years ago, I read this poem, I think, once. But the title of this poem is, When is the Time to Trust? When is the time to trust? Is it when all is calm? When waves the victor's psalm of joy and praise? Nay, but the time to trust is when the waves beat high, when storm clouds fill the sky, and prayer is one long cry, oh, help and save. When is the time to trust? Is it when friends are true? Is it when comforts rule? And in all we say and do, we meet but praise? No, but the time to trust is when we stand alone and summer birds have flown and every prop is gone, all else but God. What is the time to trust? Is it some future day when you have tried your way and learned to trust and pray by bitter woe? Nay, but the time to trust is in this moment's need. Poor, broken, bruised reed, poor, troubled soul, make speed to trust thy God. What is the time to trust? Is it when hopes beat high, when sunshine gilds the sky, and joy and ecstasy fill all of the heart? Nay, but the time to trust is when our joy is fled, when sorrow bows the head, and all is cold and dead, all else but God. That's the time to trust. Father, we thank you for your word.